Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're still talking Citrus Bowl. Dustin Hawkinsmith here. Andrew Pichet. Jim Galante. I called the audible at the end of the last segment. Then Jim Galante got in my headset and told me to switch to a different play. So we're going to stick with the stock report a little bit later. It's more Citrus Bowl. We're going to just kind of – you can go to ESPN.com or something to read about the college football playoff. We mentioned the different areas of concern, and there were some good things, obviously, in the Citrus Bowl. But I do want to circle back to all the drops. And in this game, and I think one of the most discouraging things, if you're sitting there as a Penn State fan and you're watching this, obviously the two themes, and James Franklin even said it after the game, the same issues that they had all through the regular season showed up again, special teams, drop passes. I think the frustration is that there was zero progress whatsoever in the weeks of practice between beating Maryland and now. That's the drops issue is still there, and it still was like a chain around this offense's ankles. They just – every time you're ready, it feels like you're ready to break through and bust out, string something together. There's a drop, and it doesn't matter what's on first, second, third down. Is there more a more discouraging thing outside of turning the ball over than drop passes?
There isn't, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier and what you said, Dusty. The drop passes enhances the miss passes from Trace and vice versa. And all it takes is one of those, and it just the domino effect. You drop a pass on second down, you end up with third and long. And then the next thing you know, you're going for a fake punt and you're giving the opponent the ball in your own territory. And you could still trace it back to a drop pass, right?
That's an interesting point about second down, too, because in this game, especially early, they were in way too many third and longs. They were set up to feed right into the bread and butter of Kentucky's defense, which was Josh Allen. And then the first two sacks that Josh Allen had, it wasn't even him. He slipped right through. How do you have a miscommunication where their top five overall pick gets a direct line as the,
the
inside route? Not on the, but being in third and longs over and over and over again, it's a byproduct of the drops. It's a byproduct of the misses. I think some play calling issues there too, but they were set up to fail all through most of that first half.
Well, you can talk about the drops, and we will. They're spread around, right? Miles Sanders had a drop. Jahan Dotson had a drop. I'm going to let you have the DeAndre Tompkins. That Sean Clifford throw was ridiculously good.
Yeah.
I love the call that, okay, he's got to come in for a play. throw it deep. Yes, they're going to throw it deep. And he threw a rainbow, and he dropped it in on a dime. Right in his hands over the shoulder.
Real quick, I got to interrupt because as Clifford was coming into the game, Andy texted me saying, you got to throw long here. Got to throw long.
Good call. Yeah.
Yeah, you just, dude, throw him in there and throw it long. Yeah, and he threw a dime that gets inside the five. The drops and all that. I want to bring up another point, and I'm not being a negative. The offensive line had a very bad day. The offensive line had a very, very bad day. And you're talking about missing Josh Allen on a miscommunication. A little more physical, front seven, a little more athletic than your average Big Ten, and they were simply overpowered. Consistently, 9 tackles for a loss, 8 tackles for a loss, 6 sacks. You know, there was very, very little. Other than the best thing I saw all day consistently out of the offensive line was Connor McGovern pulling and blocking. That was literally the most consistent thing I saw. But in terms of the offensive line, so Trace didn't have a lot of time, but the receivers were still dropping the ball. And they accentuate the misses almost 2-3x in my mind because you go to the, another drop pass. Well, then you're like, yeah, another drop pass and another miss pass by Trace, and all of a sudden you're punting or you're going for the fake punt. But think about this. What was your plan on first down? Especially that first half. What was Penn State's plan on first down that put him in second and long, third and long? Drop passes, miss passes, accentuated. A lot of that was accentuated by I have no idea what your plan is other than the RPO with Miles Sanders on first down against a very good front seven. And, oh, by the way, your offensive line's getting manhandled. And if you didn't know that in 10 plays, then you ain't watching football right. I'm sorry, coaches. You ain't watching it right because they manhandled you the first 10 plays of the game, adjust fire right then. And it just, it accentuated the whole thing. And the drops become a bigger deal.
And I think the drops thing, it's bigger than this game. You know, it spans to, and I'm never one to call for anybody to lose their job. I'm never going to be that guy. But you do have to assess why was there essentially no progress made from week one to now? Why is this still a thing with guys who it wasn't a thing for them before?
Right.
It wasn't a thing for Juwan Johnson. You could criticize Juwan Johnson for not being a downfield threat in 2017. He wasn't a very versatile, explosive, you got to account for him type of wide receiver last season as a redshirt sophomore. DeAndre Tompkins has never been a go-to guy, but when he was targeted, I don't really remember this being a thing. So why is that still a thing? And then – you know, I think the adjustment, James Franklin was going to ride or die with these guys no matter what this season. And part of me, I understand that. I support that. I think these are guys who, in their own way, helped get you there, more so Juwan Johnson than DeAndre Tompkins. I think the prudent thing coaching-wise to do really midway through the season was to make the move to Jahan Dotson sooner, was to try more stuff. I don't know where Justin Shorter was at developmentally, but he looks like he's going to be a player, obviously. You had some options and some choices there, but he just kept going to the DeAndre Tompkins well again and again and again. And it's not even just about demoting him or starting somebody above him. Was he their most targeted? We don't have target counts, but he must have been their most targeted wide receiver this year.
He had to be.
Again and again and again in the Citrus Bowl, there had to have been what? I don't know if that deep ball from Clifford goes down as a drop necessarily, but that is a catchable ball that I feel like a fifth-year senior should catch.
That's exactly it. And when you're talking about who's getting the most targets, I'm going to talk about who didn't get enough targets. KJ Hamler. In my mind, you can't get the ball to this kid enough times. Good things happen.
It doesn't matter the nature of the target either. You know, all you got to do, and it's not, it's the very basis of Penn State's offense, is to get playmakers in space. You know, that is what, I mean, that's what everybody's trying to do, but that's what Joe Moorhead tried to do. That's what Ricky Ronnie has tried to take the torch and run with it. Get those guys in space, and there wasn't much of an effort to do that.
But they threw him a bubble screen once, right? They threw him a bubble screen once.
41 yards.
Yeah, okay, right. They threw him a bubble screen once.
And the little sweep, he picked up 11 yards?
Yeah.
So, boy, I don't want that, right?
So you throw him one bubble screen. Now, granted, this group of wide receivers and tight ends doesn't block as well on those plays as the group did last year, right? But still, one bubble screen. One. He should have had nine targets on bubble screens over the course of four quarters, the way that football game played out. You keep doing it until they stop it. In other words, he's your best player in space. Keep doing it. And if they stop it and he loses 3 yards, what's the difference in that than doing an RPO up the middle where Miles Sanders gets blown up by a good front seven and Josh Allen rips him down for a 3 yard loss? That's not an opportunity in space. KJ Hamler did not see the ball enough. You're 100% right, Jim. And the easiest way to get it to him is in that stupid, easy execute bubble screen if they don't block it well. So what? Keep throwing it to him.
Yeah.
Keep throwing it to him. They called one bubble screen to him. One. No wonder. They were going to him on the shallow cross. What about the shallow cross in the first quarter or the second quarter? Kid can run a shallow cross because he's, fast. Catches the ball more than most, right? Probably has the fewest drops on the team.
Yeah. Well, so if one guy's getting too many targets, that means somebody's not getting enough. DeAndre Hopkins targeted too much. KJ Hamler not targeted enough. Special teams. So we covered the fake punt. I think if you execute that perfectly, it's got a shot. They didn't execute it nearly perfectly on that one. Jake Pinneker misses a field goal, which is it was a weird field goal that if it was 5 yards longer, he makes it.
Probably.
It was hooking in. Josh Allen tips a field goal almost nailed it through.
That was an Ole block, by the way, by Danny Dalton. That was an Ole block by your outside guy on him.
But I also think Jake Vinegar has been kicking the ball low.
It's low all kick. Season all year. Long. It was a low kick.
Yeah. All year long, he's been kicking the ball low, which is another thing. Like, why is that still a thing? And then obviously the punt return touchdown by Len Bowden. Boy, that Len Bowden is a good
player. He's a good returner.
You yep. see, I think he's good in all kinds of ways. I think he's a guy who, you know, statistically and in terms of usage, he's limited by what the Kentucky offense is capable of doing, specifically their quarterback. But that's a good player. Still, I mean, it's a game where you just can't give that up. And certainly you add all this stuff up, right? Missed field goal, blocked field goal, punt return touchdown, ill-timed field goal at the end there, if you want to put it that way, and then the fake punt. You can't have all this stuff on special teams and beat a good team.
Well, and Dusty, some of these things – I might say, gee, that happens. You can't catch the ball for the player. Earlier you were talking about they didn't fix the drops. But when it happens consistently all year, you want to point at coaching. Special teams the same way. A litany of errors in this game, but it's just a continuation of what's been happening all season. Like you, I hate to ever say, gee, the guy's job should be at stake for this, but a guy's job should be at stake for this because the special teams mistakes happen over and over and over again. There's a consistency to that, and you got to lay it somewhere.
The kickoff out of bounds, too. Don't forget about that.
Oh, now,
the coach, coach doesn't say go out there and kick the ball out of bounds, but he definitely calls for something angled. And I'm like, that's surrendering 25 to 30 yards of field position just right there.
And I know they do that. That's the way they coach it. But there was one game this year, and I can't remember which one, where they didn't angle it. He just kicked it straight, deep.
Boom it.
And it was a touchback every time.
Just boom it. I don't understand the angles on the kickoffs. I understand it. That there's less angling now in the punting, and I don't understand that either. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Kickoff. Kick it as far and as deep as you can. Make the guy in the end zone raise his hands. But, you know, James said he's got to make some tough decisions and have some hard conversations. Well, the hard conversation should be that I'm going to tell you you've lost your job. That's the hard conversation. Because if anybody, you deserve to be fired.
There are other adjustments to be made, just to be clear about how you practice, how you approach that, what you're teaching, how you're teaching it. There will be changes beyond just making personnel changes, but something's got to change with the drops, with the special teams issue. And yeah, we'll see. You got another shot here to talk about this. Stock up, stock down, coming out of the Citrus Bowl, looking ahead to 2019. One more quarter to go on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.